So when I, you know, thought about what I'm going to share, All right. Amen. Before we start, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. To be honest, Father, I didn't want to stand before your children because I don't feel worthy. And a lot of stuff going on in the world, a lot of stuff happening to me personally. And it just sort of deters my mind. I pray, God Almighty, that my words not be my own. Because these days, the older I get, the more I think I don't have the wisdom I have. I pray, God Almighty, that your children, their hearts be open. Lead us to me, Father, that they will heed your word. And they will understand one or two things. And it would lead to a transformation. Because God Almighty, at the end, if we come here and we have all the perfect sermons, and it doesn't lead to any change in our lives, then it's just to fulfill our righteousness. Mm-hmm. It's just a show. It's just a presentation. And God Almighty, that's not what it is. It's not a presentation for me. It is that I, God Almighty, who speaks, learn, and those who also listen learn as well. So pray, God Almighty, that you take control. Thank you so much for the singing. Thank you so much for the communion that will come after. That doing it all, God Almighty, will remember that the reason why we are here, gathered, is because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we love you, Jesus Christ. And thank you so much for all you've done for us. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you be with us. Now and forever. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm going to ask how everyone is doing, because for me, I'm not doing so great. The week has been a very stressful week. So you go to my understand, when it comes to the in finance, the year-end closing, it's always so difficult. And I've been pulling, working till sometimes 12 a.m., 11 a.m. p.m. So it's been an exhausting week for me. And then yesterday I had a fight with my dad. The older you get, you realize that with your parents, because they come from a different time, they think differently than you do. And so there's always times where you would always bump heads with your parents, because how you see life and how they see life is different. And one person has to succumb. One person has to listen. And in my case, my old man wasn't willing to listen. And so I was very angry yesterday. I was pacing around. And then when I was sitting down, later on, when I was calm a bit after I speak to my mom, I asked my wife, I said, why am I always angry? Why am I always angry? I'm not the Hulk. I'm not green. Why am I always angry? And my wife said something that was interesting for me. She said, because you don't know how to let things go. So those words stuck with me, all through the night, where I meditated. I don't know how to let things go. And I've been told this a couple of times by my friends, that, you don't know how to let things go. So, for example, I don't have Instagram on my phone. And the reason why I don't have Instagram on my phone is because when I go to CNN and BBC and I read the comments, I get very angry. I get very angry, and you see me, I'm just like holding my phone, and I'm like, So I had to tell myself, Omo, you gotta put these apps away because they're affecting you. So I had to put it on my laptop. So I check Instagram maybe once a week. And just only 30 minutes staying there, I just start getting annoyed. Today I'm going to be talking about myself. And the encouragement today is finding peace in hard times and in changing world. Finding peace in hard times and in a changing world. The world is changing. Whether we want to agree or not, the world is changing. 20 years ago, if you told me we would drive electric cars and they would run completely 600 to 800 kilometers now, I don't know what the technology is, I would tell you, it's possible, but I don't understand how it works. The world is changing. You know, when I saw what happened with Trump and Venezuela, me and my wife, I was mad. I was mad. And I was like, man, I know the man is a wicked person, but come on. This is hypocrisy. And so, you watch the news, it doesn't give you peace. You watch movies that's supposed to relax you, and it still doesn't give you peace. Either because, you know, they push agendas that are not godly, that shouldn't be in a... You watch a movie and you're like, how did we get here? Like, what is the need, for example, for a sexual sin in a cartoon, for example? So the world is changing. And we gotta find peace, amen, in this changing world. We gotta find peace in this changing world. And so the scripture I'm going to base everything I'll say this morning is Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7. We can read Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7. I don't know about anybody, but Philippians 4 is sufficient for you when you're in any trouble in life. Amen? If you're in any difficulty in life, Philippians 4 is enough to encourage you. If you're not still encouraged, fast. And pray. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Amen. I will say it again. Meaning, it's very important and it shouldn't be once. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And this is the most important thing for me today, brothers and sisters. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And this morning I asked myself, Omo, do you have peace? And I'm like, probably not. Probably not. Because if I have peace, I don't have to address everything. I have to let things go. Because I feel like I have to change this thing. Not God has to change it. I have to change it. And so because I have to change it, I got to speak. Something is going wrong in the house. Something going wrong in church. I got to speak. Because I feel like God has put it in my heart to speak. But sometimes I shouldn't speak. It's not important every time to speak. What's robbing you of your peace? You gotta ask yourself that question. What's robbing you of your peace? Sometimes it's colleagues who make work so annoying. Work is supposed to be fun.
It's supposed to be hard, but it's supposed to be fun. But you just have people at your workplace who just have been wired to make work difficult. Right? I want to hear our thoughts. What's robbing us of our peace? What's robbing us of our peace?
Deutsche
Bahn. Amen. Amen. The zoom comes später. I'm still in später. Is the train going to come?
Expectations
from people,
from my husband or from my children, or from my friends.
So much pressure.
Worries.
Man. What else robs you of your politics? Politics. Trump, Putin, Starmer, Merz, all of them. Very annoying, sorry?
Big responsibilities,
yeah, for men. You know, thinking about the family, you know, thinking about the future, you know, thinking about what are we going to eat, you know, if what we have is enough. The world is changing. And a lot of things, I assure you, is going to rob you of your peace. And the devil knows this. And that's why we see in today's time, what is trending is, if this thing is robbing you of your peace, cut it off.
Sorry?
If something is robbing you of your peace, cut it off. So, for example, if young blood is robbing me of my peace, cut him off. That's the trend. You guys don't know the trend? That's the trend. If liberal is robbing me of my peace, cut liberal off. That's not what the Bible teaches. Amen? That's not what the Bible teaches. Let's go to John 14, verse 27. After Jesus promised he's going to send the Holy Spirit, the advocate, to the disciples, Jesus says in 27, says, "Peace I leave unto you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The very question I want to ask us, and I want to ask myself this morning, is your understanding of peace rot? So is it twisted? Is your understanding of peace the way Jesus understands peace? Because when we read the scripture again, Jesus says, "I'll give you peace." But he says, "I do not give you as the world gives." Sometimes our understanding of peace is no quarrel with family. Work is going fine. Children are well behaved. There is no war. What else? There's money at home. There's food. We can pay our rent, our mortgages. Our parents are well. But that's not the peace Jesus talks about. Otherwise, you're living in your heaven. Earth is then heaven. Because if you have no problem, then earth is heaven. Jesus is talking about the peace in the heart. That you have joy even when life is changing. Even when life is scattered. It's that you still wake up and you're still rejoicing. I don't know about you guys, but I don't have that peace yet. You know, right now we have to change our apartment. You know? And our apartment is so fresh and so nice. We're like, yeah, we'll stay here for a while and then maybe later on, you know, we'll buy whatever. And then before you know it, he was giving me anxiety. Should we buy? Should we still rent? You know? Do I need a bigger space? You know, because I'd like to have people over in my house. For Christmas, we had, I don't know, 10 people in the house. And I'm like, I need space. I want people to come to my house. You know, I want people to stay over. And I want us to have fun. You know, glorifying God. And all this, I'm not having joy. It's robbing me of my joy. Because then you go to viewing sometimes and people are asking you silly questions. Because you're a foreigner. People ask you silly questions. What do you do? How do you do it? Why do you need to know all these questions? So is your idea of peace, is it warped? Is it twisted? Because if it is, you're not going to get satisfied by God. Amen? Because you're going to say, God, I'm scared of this and I need peace. And the peace has to come from you resolving this. And God, if you don't resolve this, I don't have peace. At the end, I said this thing a couple of times, that praying for your situation to change is not a sustainable change. Amen, church? A sustainable change is praying for your heart to change. But it's tough. It's tough to change your heart to change, brothers and sisters. Are you praying for your heart? That's the most important thing. Your heart. Are you praying for your mentality to change? You know, this year I read a scripture. I'm trying to remember the scripture. I don't know if it's in Philippians. Where the Bible says, do everything without complaining. Does anybody remember the scripture? Colossians 3. Is it Philippians 2:14?
Yeah.
Okay, so Philippians 2:14. Can you read, Mama?
Do all things without murmurs and disruption.
Mm-hmm.
So Philippians 2:14.
Mm-hmm.
Do everything without grumbling or arguing,
mm-hmm.
so that you may become blameless and pure,
mm-hmm.
children of God, without fault in the warped and crooked generation.
Mm-hmm.
Then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky.
Amen. For me, last year, work robbed me of my peace. I was working on something, you know, groundbreaking in technology. And then a colleague of mine used politics and took over the whole project. And I remember for 2 weeks, I couldn't sleep, like 8 hours. I'd wake up in the night and I'd be worried. And I'd be angry. And I'm like, God, why would you take this thing away from me? Like, this thing is mine. I started it from the beginning. It's my idea. And this person is just going to take it because of politics. And God says, do everything without grumbling. His word says in Colossians 3, verse 23, says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. 3, verse 23. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. I think one of the reasons that our peace is being robbed off is because we do not have a growing knowledge of who God is and the Bible. Amen. You know, because I was asking myself, like, Omar, what's happening to your peace this week? And then I'm like, how many times did I read my Bible? How many times did I spend lonely times with God this week? Whatever is rubbing off our peace can't be physical. It has to also be spiritual. And so we have to ask God for strength to be able to mentally approach every day as the way He wants us to approach it. My first point, having an idea of what God's plan is in your life gives you peace. Amen? Having an idea of what God's plan is in your life gives you peace. What is God's plan for you? We know Jeremiah says that his plan is to prosper us. Amen. But there is a journey before you get to prosper. Amen. And sometimes the waiting period can be difficult. But if you do not understand what God's plan is in your life, you're not going to have peace. Let's read Lamentations 3, verse 19 to 24. Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3. Is it after Ecclesiastes or after Jeremiah? Yeah, after Jeremiah. Yeah. Because Jeremiah wrote Lamentations. So we're going to read 19. I want to give you guys an understanding of what's happening here. Now, Jerusalem has been sacked. So it's like, everything is gone. Everything is burning. People are shouting. People are crying. People are going out in slavery. They are leaving their lands. And Jeremiah is thinking about these things. And says, I remember my affliction and my wandering in 19. The bitterness and the gall. I don't know if you guys know what gall is. So I think it's like there's a part of the body that stores fat. It's also in chicken. It's also in the body. I think the body is bile. So it's a sack that stores fat, excess fat in the body, and it is always bitter. So for those who haven't stayed in farms and stuff, when you kill a chicken, that part of the chicken, if you puncture it while cleaning the chicken, the whole meat is going to be bitter. So it's called gall. It's a very green substance that is secreted in the body and is very bitter. And so Jeremiah says, the bitterness and the gall, I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. It says, yet this call to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. That is an understanding of who God and God's plan. Not for only Jeremiah, but for the people of Israel. What is God's plan for you and your family? You know, when things were rough for me back home when I was in Nigeria, I always tell my mom something. You know, my mom would say, keep it to yourself. I said, Mom, I don't know how my life is going to be. But one thing I know is, I'm going to be great. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know who I'm going to meet. It most likely is that the person that will help me to where I'm going to be, I don't know the person, but I trust in God that I'll be great. And I kept on saying this to myself. And so even while staying on my father's couch, because I didn't have a room, and I was doing everything I could do with the resources I had, I wasn't always downcast every time. Somewhere in me, there was a place to smile. What is God's plan for you? What's God's plan for your family? Have you prayed to God and asked God's plan? Or is God's plan for you your plan? I showed my wife, you know, 3-4 years ago, I listed jobs that I wanted to, you know, pivot to. And one of the top companies I wrote, you know, I remember I wrote, for example, I wrote Deloitte, and I wrote Goldman Sachs. So for those who know Goldman Sachs, that's a big company. And I was like, and yeah, you know Goldman Sachs, right? And I put them down, and I put the salary I want. And I started praying. And what God showed me in the time when I was applying for jobs was that, Omo, you have a plan, great, but I have a plan for you. I had interviewed with Goldman Sachs, and then they were offering me a job that I didn't want. And then I had a contract given to me from Deloitte. And I already signed the contract. I said, God, okay, I'm going to Deloitte. And then, from nowhere, I don't know about energy. I don't know about anything about energy. In fact, when I got the job that I'm currently working on, and I told my friends, I was like, oh, that's a big commitment. Oh, I don't know. That's how God works. God, he says he takes the things that we think are wise, and he turns them to foolishness. So whatever I think is wise in terms of what I have planned for myself, God's plan is better. And to be honest, I can say for a fact that it's better. Because if I was working in those places, I remember when I was working in KPMG, I would be in the house only 1 week in a month. Just 1 week. Because I'm traveling. And then God gives me a job where I have time to stay in my marriage and build, you know, with Clara, you know, from the beginning. Because in my current job, I have time. I have flexible time. So what's God's plan for you? You know, finding peace, it means you're anchored in Christ. You know what an anchor is? So it's the part of the ship that is sort of like a braking system. Finding peace means your anchor in Christ. Because in Philippians 4, that's what it says, right? That we have peace that transcends all understanding in who? In Christ Jesus. Where is the source of your peace? Where is the source of your joy? It's your joy in your job. Sometimes, I don't know about everyone, but sometimes you can get joy from job, from your work. I have friends in my office who have kids, and their kids are a lot. And they're like, bro, I come here to have some me time. I'll go back later. You know, and when the job closes, and they're going home, and then yeah. I have to go face those kids again. All right. But so it's your peace in your job. It's your peace in the German economy. Because sometimes I shared it last time. I said, because in Germany, once you are unemployed, you get unemployment benefits. And so when your job is shaky, rather than first go to meet God, you're like, well, I mean, I'll get unemployment benefits, so I'm okay. It's your peace in the German system. It's your peace in your children. Oh, I have well-behaved kids. My kids are brilliant. So when I see them, it gives me peace. So peace in your children. When you're sick, it's your peace that you will take this medicine and you'll be well. Where's your peace? Whatever gives you joy, whatever makes you smile and happy, can be part of what consists of your peace. And that is a warped view. You mentioned? It's a warped view. Your peace has to come from God. Amen? Your peace has to come from Jesus Christ. God should be enough. And when God is enough, this is how you know. Because when you think of the German system that works, you then give glory to God for the system. When you think about the drugs you take that gets you well, you then give glory to God for the drugs. When you think, when God is the only reason why you have peace, you think about it and then you realize that whatever I have has been given to me by God. And so God, I thank you. So where's your peace coming from? Is it coming from yoga? Do you prefer yoga to reading your Bible? These things are not bad. But if God is not first, like me, this week, I didn't put God first. But I was just working. I didn't put God first this week. And to be honest, all the times I put God first, I really thought about it. Like, the way me and my father had, like, an issue yesterday, it wouldn't happen. Because my spirit would be like, oh, Yesterday I was like, no, man, I'm tired of, no, I have to, no, sir, with all due respect, no, this cannot happen. That's where my brain is going. But if I put God first in that week, I would have, something would have done. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 42, verse 11. Psalm 42:11 says, why, my soul, are you downcast? So this quite sounds similar to what happened to Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah said the same thing, right? He said his soul is downcast within him. So Psalm 42:11. Does it sound similar? Does it sound similar? Because in Jeremiah says the same thing. He says, my soul, why are you downcast? And the writer of this psalm is saying, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. The world is changing. You know, this week I saw, you know, Germany sent troops to Greenland. And I was in the room and I was like, God, I haven't had kids yet. I haven't done a lot of stuff yet. I don't want the world to shake, you know, so restore peace into it. I mean, I was selfish in my prayer, but I was like, God, you know, I don't have, like, I have plans, you know, so I don't want the world to shake. So please restore peace to them. You know, because at the end, the orange man is doing his stuff, and then Russia is doing their stuff.
And then Europe, they're doing their stuff. Everyone is doing their stuff. Israel is doing their stuff.
So who's your hope on?
You know, is your hope in the EU being together? Or is your hope in God? And to be honest, we can't lose track of this point. Like, life can just be overwhelming. Life can just be going. And before you know it, it just escapes you where your hope should be.
I pray for each and every one of us, you know, that our hearts be tuned towards Christ. I pray for this week, you know, that these words will not go empty in our hearts. That when things, situations, either with your children's school, either with work, either with the person you meet at the shop, that when it goes like that, you know that at the end, we'll remember who our peace is, and our peace is in God through Christ Jesus. My last question to everyone. Are you a peacemaker? This is for me. Sometimes I don't like peace. There's a trend online that says, I don't want peace, I want problems always. Well, sometimes I don't want peace. Sometimes I just want everywhere to shake. But in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, when Jesus, you know, so the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. For they are called what?
Church.
What does your Bible say they are called? They're called children of God. Peacemakers are called children of God. Our God is a God of peace. And so if I'm not being an advocate of peace, I'm sorry to say, sometimes I'm not behaving like a child of God. This is me calling myself out. If I'm not an advocate of peace, that's why Paul, for example, in the writer of Hebrews 13 says that we need to submit to authority. God doesn't say we need to carry up arms and revolt. That's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that we are pioneers of peace. That we should always seek peace. And this is humbling my heart because I have to go seek peace with my Father even if I know that I'm right. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Because I can't come here and say all these words and it doesn't also reflect in my life. Otherwise, I'm a hypocrite as well. So, are you a peacemaker? In your home, are you the first person that gravitates towards peace? Or no, you just want to go, you. You're not a child of God if you're doing that. Because there's a blessing that comes with peacemaking. Amen? Amen? So, in our jobs, on the streets, in the cafeteria at work, whenever you go to McDonald's or KFC, whenever you go to Edeka or Kaufland or Netto, I don't know what supermarket is in your street. Remember who you are. That in the end, we are all children of God. The more we must have peace. Amen?
Amen.
We must rejoice. Amen?
Amen?
We must have joy. You go on the train, people are frowning in Germany. I'm like, man, where's the joy? Someone's just like, come on, where's the joy? You know? But we are ambassadors of Christ. We gotta smile. People have to see our joy. Our joy has to be infectious. Amen? Our joy has to be very infectious. Every time I come to church, I'm like, excuse my face, and Michaela just says, almost straighten your face, and I have to, yeah, I forgot. Alright, I have to start. True. You know? And I appreciate Michaela for, you know, and for pointing that out to me, that I'm always squeezing my face. Maybe it's hereditary, you know? Yeah, but at the end, you know, church, I pray, you know, that these words, they resonate with us. You know, and we are able to manage family better. And I don't mean just nuclear family, extended family as well. That we are able to manage our jobs better. That at the end, we are able to find peace in hard times and in a changing world. And at the end, I know for a fact that God's name will be glorified. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
It's okay.